A barrel. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and once again, I want to welcome you to a brand new week of radio broadcasts here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. My first broadcast for the week starts on Tuesday. I do Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so I'm off on Monday. A lot of times that's actually my day off because of obviously a very busy day. On Sunday, three services, Sunday school, and then our morning worship service, and then also a service in the evening over at Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility. Just really enjoy the ministry over there at Shepherd's Care. So many folks that we get to meet have so many interesting stories. You never know exactly who you're going to meet over there. There's a number of folks there right now that have been associated with Christian schools around the country that have now, they had some sort of connection with Bob Jones University, I think. And so a lot of times they will end up back here in the Greenville area. And then sometimes the last season of their life, they'll end up over there at Shepherd's Care Assisted Living Facility. And John Piper's dad was there. I got to meet with him numerous times before he went home to be with the Lord. He was in our evening service and many, many others. It's just such a wonderful ministry to be involved in. I hope you got together this past week with your particular group that you're involved in, the church that you're involved in, local church, and I hope that you were fed via the Word of God and the worship of God in the service. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about worshiping God, and that term is open to debate as to how much that actually includes in our service. A lot of people, when they speak about worshiping God, are specifically talking about the music portion, but I don't think that is actually theologically correct. I think we could talk about worshiping God as worshiping Him as we open up our scriptures as well, as we look at the Word of God, as I'm about preaching at Mountain Ridge Bible Fellowship. That's worshiping God as well. But today we're going to be using it in the sense that most people are probably familiar with. We're going to be talking about worshiping God in song. And I've got two guests on the program today. First one for the first half an hour will be Bob Coughlin. And we're going to talk with him about worshiping God in general. But I want to do that while talking with him about an upcoming conference called the Worshiping God 2011 Conference. It's going to take place August 10th through the 13th. I think this week is the final week to register for that event and get the discount. It's going to take place in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and it's sponsored by Sovereign Grace Ministries. I'll tell you more about that in just a second. On the second half of the program today, I'll be joined by somebody that I actually heard about through Bob's blog. He had, I think I read it on your blog or on his Twitter post, but he spoke about a ministry called Ask Me Who, an Ask Me Who series. And it's designed to teach children the basics of the faith using the children's first catechism set to original music. And we'll speak with the author of that CD at the second half of the program. Let's start off today by reintroducing you to Bob Coughlin. He hardly needs an introduction at all. I'm sure many people in our listening audience are familiar with him. But Bob is the Director of Worship Development for Sovereign Grace Ministries. And Bob was a writer and an arranger for the group GLAAD. I know a lot of people in our listening audience are familiar with GLAAD. It's been one of their favorite groups, or was one of their favorite groups throughout the years. Bob was with GLAAD from 1976 until 2006. and he is now one of the worship leaders at Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland. You'll know that name of the church because that is the church where Josh Harris is the pastor. Josh has been on the program with me before. And also, besides doing that, Bob blogs out at worshipmatters.com. If you're in any way involved in the worship of your church, you need to be going to that blog very often. I know the guys in our church do, and it's very, very helpful. He is also the author of the book Worship Matters, and that's what I had Bob on the program for before. We talked about that book. The subtitle is Leading Others to Encounter the Greatness of God. It was released in 2008 by Crossway, and I'm going to actually be giving away a couple copies of this book during the first half an hour of the program today, and I'll do so for your question or comment to our special guest today, Bob Coughlin. Let me give you the numbers and the way that you can do that really quickly, and then we'll go right to our interview. You can call. We've set up a toll-free number. It's good nationwide, and that number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Be happy to take your question or comment via the phone. Secondly, I do have email up and running, and my email is very simple. It's just Kevin, that's K-E-V-I-N, at knowingthetruth.org. Knowing the Truth is all one word, Kevin at knowingthetruth.org. Either way, I'll take your question or comment, and while they last, I'll make sure to get one of these books sent out to you. Compliments of Crossway, www.crossway.org. With that, Bob, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Kevin, thanks so much for having me on.
Bob, I wanted to talk about this upcoming worship conference and what will be taking place there. I know you've been very busy. I saw that you were over in the UK for a little bit. Maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about what happened in your travels over there to the UK, and then we'll make a segue to talk a little bit about the upcoming conference.
Okay, well, probably the highlight was it was actually a two-part trip. One was, I'll tell you about, but the second part, my wife and I were celebrating our 35th anniversary.
Ah, praise the Lord.
And we went to Italy, we went to England. She's British, she was born in England.
Okay.
And she got a glimpse of Prince Harry, so that might have been the natural highlight. But I led the singing for a conference over there in North Wales called New Word Alive. Mm. And about 5,000 folks, and great conference. They had two meetings every night, just an assortment of evangelicals from around the UK, and we had a fantastic time. Also taught some seminars there.
Excellent. I know you guys have been busy putting on the conference here, getting all the details ready for it. I should put it that way. Worship God 11. It's actually referred to as the Gathering. Tell us a little bit about what's going to take place at this event.
I'd love to. Well, the theme came from a book by Brian Chappell called Christ-Centered Worship, where he just talks about how every meeting tells a story. And the story Christians are meant to tell with their meetings is the gospel. Mm. And so I've been thinking about that for a few years, actually. And so the conference is built around that theme, at least the main sessions are. I have a number of folks coming in from outside Sovereign Grace, Ray Ortland Jr., Brian Chappell, Fabidi, Anya Bwile, Don Whitney, a couple musical groups, Enfield, and folks from Sojourn Community Church in Louisville. And we're going to be exploring the theme in the main sessions about the theme of, you know, what do we do with our meetings? How do they reflect the gospel, and how should they reflect the gospel? So gathering to behold, gathering to rehearse the gospel, gathering to hear, gathering to edify, and gathering to commission. Now, on Friday night, we're actually recording a live album, all new songs. We'll do it twice, so at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And we'll be sending out to the attendees in advance a recording of all the songs, you know, kind of a demo recording, so they'll know them when they get there. And I'm figuring that's going to be just a great night. But that's going to be a collection of songs that would follow somewhat of a gospel-structured liturgy, you know, with a call to worship and songs of adoration, songs of confession and assurance of pardon and thanksgiving and intercession, all those things, song for the Lord's Supper and baptism and then a benediction, so all that. So that's going to be great. And then we're also going to be offering 40 seminars, of which attendees can choose four. And those would be more on the, practical theological skill side. They're all, we fit in all three, but you'll find some of the more practical elements happening there. So we're just going to have a great time. Attendance, I mean, registration is going great. And as you mentioned, it's another week. The rates go up. So if you're thinking about going, you should check it out, worshipguide11.com.
I love what you guys have been doing on your Worship Matters blog. You've been listing on there how people can actually incorporate some of the songs from the latest album into worship. Explain that a little bit to our listening audience, if you would, please.
Well, when you release an album, there are a number of competing values, I think, or goals that you're going for. One is to, we always want to write songs primarily that congregations can do in their local church. But when you do an album, because of the increase in technology today and the accessibility of recording equipment, the standards for recording have really risen. And so we not only want to produce an album of songs that can be sung in a meeting, but songs that are interesting to listen to over and over. So when we put together an album, the emphasis may be more on that side of things. Mm-hmm. Make it creative, make it interesting. But we've realized there can be a disconnect for people when they're listening to it, and they go, I could never do that in my congregation. So one of the things we're trying to do is to close that gap. And other people have done this. We've just followed in their footsteps. So we're releasing videos both of a training nature. We'll have one guy with a guitar saying, this is how I do this song. He's explaining all the chords and, everything. So we plan to produce a lot of those. And then also we're just doing a video of our Sunday morning meeting when we do one of those songs, and people can hear, oh, yeah, that's different. That's our congregation could do that. And so we're trying to get the songs into the churches by that means. So we're trying to do both. Do something creative as well as do something accessible.
I've watched a couple of those videos. They seem to be very helpful, although I have absolutely nothing to do with any of the instruments at church whatsoever. I do work very closely with the music director, and basically as a result of the entire music team took your book, Worship Matters, and they sat down and had a few meetings together about this book and how to select the songs and how to work together with the pastor. And so wow. I definitely try to work with a theme with the worship leader, and I mentioned to him, what I'll be preaching on and what song. Then we'll talk about, what hymns or choruses would work in the service.
Great.
And certainly which one to end with, where I'm hoping to end in the sermon. And so we're trying to do that and really try to develop that as much as possible.
That's wonderful.
Your book has been a tremendous help.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, your book has been a tremendous help in that, and I certainly recommend it for other pastors and music leaders. I've got myself in this little bind now where I'm never quite sure how to term everybody anymore after reading through all these articles about that I'm actually the worship leader in the church. And so now I'm very hesitant about what term I use.
Well, Kevin, I just use different terms, and I think that's good. Unless it's pastor, unless it's in the Bible, God calls people pastors. He calls them shepherds, overseers. And that's a biblical term. Worship leader is not a biblical term. Mm. It's something that we've designed. It's convenient. It helps us talk about what's going on. But I think it's good for us to use different terms. Someone's more than a song leader. That just implies, we're just singing songs. Mm. Well, it's a little more than that. It's not like we're at a Rotary Club meeting or at a sports event. We're hoping to encounter the living God. So, but then when you say worship leader, that tends to make it sound like the only time we worship is when we sing, which that's not true. So I think just using a number of different terms reminds us that, we're just trying to put a label on this function.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question here that's actually one that's been submitted by the person leading the music portion of the worship at our service.
Oh, great.
How's that?
That's good.
See how comfortable I am with it now? But he says, he asks this question. He says, as a member and or leader of a music team in our church, how can we best prepare ourselves for this conference? And equally as important, what are some of the key things that we can do in order to bring the elements of the conference back to the team members that were not able to attend? He goes on to put in parentheses there. I know it's a very broad question, but...
No, that's a great question. Yeah, and I immediately think of some answers. Since the conference is kind of geared or built around Brian Chappell's book, Christ-Centered Worship, I think reading through that would be a great preparation for the conference. It would really, he's speaking at one of the sessions, but I think that would really help people get their hands around, okay, what's the overall theme? It won't control everything we do, but it'll be a main, you know, emphasis of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You might also look at Worship by the Book by D.A. Carson, especially his first chapter. I should have said first, just pray that God would speak to you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things that happen at these conferences over the years. I think this is our seventh or eighth one. You know, to receive feedback from people, just, you know, God, you know, I came to learn technique. God changed my life. You transform my view of him. I understand the gospel better. So just pray that God would do what he wants to do in your heart, in your team. And when I think of the conference, when we prepare the teachings and the seminar stuff, I'm thinking of three areas. I'm thinking of the heart, because that's got to be included when we talk about worshiping God. I'm thinking of theology, because that's got to be included too. You know, what exactly is the foundation of what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think of skill, and that would include things like music, leadership, those kinds of things. So I just maybe get together as a team and say, you know, where do we need to grow in these three areas? Where do we hope to grow?
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of follow-up, we post all the recordings and outlines, or at least most recordings and outlines, for all the messages at the conference online. So people have found it helpful just to pick one, pick different ones, and depending on the appropriateness and the season timing, and say, hey, let's listen to this as a team, and then let's get together. Let's listen to it individually, and then let's get together and talk about how we think it impacts us and what we think we can do to change. I'd recommend that even for someone who came to the conference, because, you know, when you go to a conference, you just kind of, you're standing in front of this fire hydrant of information and experience, and you go home and you just promptly move back into normal life and kind of forget it. So it's very helpful to nail down one, two, three things from a message that you can say, I'm going to apply this when I go home.
Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Bob Coughlin, and Bob is not only the author of the book Worship Matters that we've alluded to a couple of times already during the interview. By the way, that book is put out by Crossway, www.crossway.org. I am giving away copies during the first half an hour of the broadcast today, so if you'd like a copy, you're welcome to get one for your question or comment dealing with the subject that we're talking about today. And also, Bob is involved with Sovereign Grace in putting on this Worship God 11 conference. If you go out to my website at www.knowingthetruth.org, there is a link and a logo in the right-hand column. If you just click on that, that'll take you directly to the Worship God 2011 conference page. And as we mentioned in the beginning part of the broadcast, this week is the last week for you to be able to register to get the discount. It's not the last week that you can register to attend, but if you want to get the discount, this is the last week for you to be able to do that. Tim, that wrote the first question there, had a follow-up question as well that I wanted to ask you, Bob. He said, oh, let me mention one more thing before I go to that. We've mentioned Dr. Brian Chappell's book a couple of times, Christ-Centered Worship. I did an interview with Dr. Chappell, and so if you want to listen to that interview for our listeners' sake, you can go out to our www.sermonaudio.com page. It's /knowingthetruth. And if you just type in Dr. Chappell, I'm sorry, that And if you are Christ-centered worship into the search engine, it'll take you to that interview that I did with him about that book. I also spoke with Stephen Eltrogi, not directly on this subject. We were talking about his book on contentment, but towards the end of the interview, we talked about the upcoming Worship God Conference, and you may be interested in those comments as well. So just type in Eltrogi out there in the search engine, and it'll bring it up for you. Or Greener Grass, I think is what it was. His book was about a greener grass conspiracy about contentment. And so Tim asks this question. Bobby says, Terry Johnson stated in his book, Reformed Worship, that in every time of corporate worship, we should be reading the Bible, singing the Bible, praying the Bible, preaching the Bible, seeing the Bible, that is, in the sacraments. Would you comment on the importance of the centrality of the Scriptures and how the conference will further this idea?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole, spend a lot of time talking about that. Mm-hmm. As you look through Scripture, you see from the very beginning, our relationship with God is built on a trust of His revealed Word. And when I say from the very beginning, I mean from the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Eve did not believe what God had said. She added to it. She misinterpreted. She didn't believe it. So that resulted in the fall. It resulted in being cast out of God's presence and becoming rebellious to His authority. Well, when God reinstitutes His relationship with us, it is always through the Word. You think of Mount Sinai, where you had these dramatic physical manifestations of God's presence, but what did He do? He gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them the law, and it was the law that was to be put in the center of the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm.
Every time there was revival in Israel's history, it was because it was related to a discovery of the law or a closer adherence to the law, to God's Word. And then you in the New Testament, you see Jesus honoring the Word, revering the Word. But then in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, Colossians 3, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Well, it's the Word of God that points to the Word of Christ. And they're almost synonymous, not quite. It's the Word of God must lead us to the living Word.
Amen.
Or else it can become dead dogmatism, which does not honor God. But as the Word of God, the Bible, Scripture, is central in our meetings, well, it must point to Jesus Christ and the saving work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have no access to God apart from Christ. We have no acceptance. Our worship is not acceptable apart from Christ. So, I mean, for those reasons and many more, we see the same thing happening in heaven where, it's God seated on the throne and the Lamb who was slain. And there is, this honor, this reverence, this worship. And again, the Word of God is central.
Hmm.
So I totally agree. I just might, specify it. And Terry would have no disagreement with this. That it is the Word of Christ as He's been revealed in the Word of God that must capture our attention, that must govern what we do, motivate our affections and what we do as we gather. It's pretty central.
We've been also going through Psalm 119 verse by verse, all 176 verses, and of course that centers on, I think, every verse but three of the verses mention the Word of God in it in some form or some synonym for the Word of God. And so the whole theme of what we've been looking at, which is a big theme, of course, because of the number of verses there, but has been the sufficiency of God's Word, that God's Word is sufficient for every single situation and circumstance that we face in this life. It meets the essential necessities of man. And so really been focusing on the centrality of the Word of God. And so doing that in our song as well is something that is obviously very important to us as well. Well, Bob, thank you. thank you very much for taking the time out to visit with us today. I'm going to actually play the song off of Worship God 11's website. By the way, let me tell the listening audience that it's worshipgodconference.com. It's a very simple, all one word, worshipgodconference.com. You can go out there and get all the details. You'll see the recommended reading list. You'll see reasons why to come to Worship God 11 and so forth. And so, and you'll also hear this this music that we're going to end this segment with here and before we go to break. So, Bob, thank you very much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Kevin, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Okay.
Always a joy.
That was Bob Coughlin, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes with our next guest.
How has the rebel been made clean? Oh, blinded eyes been made to see. How have the orphans been adopted? Who hated your love and ran from grace? Despised and rejected all your ways. How wonderful the Father's love, the Father's love for us. That he would send his only Son to come and rescue us. He has saved. Spirit to us, so we can be sure we're sons of God and rest in the hope of what's to come. How wonderful the Father's love, the Father's love for us, that he would send his only Son to come and rest.
Everyone knows a family in crisis with a troubled teen. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry, formerly Serving Hurting Families, is a radio ministry designed to help you navigate the tumultuous preteen and teen years. Join Trace, the director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, as he discusses the issues your family struggles with. Although Serving Hurting Families has a new name, Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry, our content remains the same, as does our broadcast times, Thursday at 12:30 p.m. and Saturday morning at 11 on Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
The American Legion. We're a powerful force for the nation. We're the largest veteran service organization in the nation. We're committed to making sure all veterans receive the benefits they deserve for the sacrifices they've made in service to America. If you're a veteran in need of help or support, regardless of when you served, please contact us. We have a network of service officers trained specifically to help you get through the process of filing a claim for medical care or benefits. We understand that it can be daunting to get through the policies and bureaucracy of filing a claim with the Department of Veterans Affairs. And we understand the special concerns of women veterans and those suffering from post-traumatic stress. We understand these things because we're all veterans of wartime service. We've been there before, and we're here for you now. You don't have to be a member to get our help, and our services are totally free. Go to legion.org to find out more about the American Legion's commitment of service to America.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Just give you a little hint here of some goings-on at the studio here. We were talking to Bob Coughlin, and we actually had to call Bob Coughlin on his cell phone because the power had gone out at his office. So they were having some power issues at his office. We finished the program with him here, and those power issues seemed to be following Bob around because immediately we lost power here, at least not on the airwave. You know, that still kept going out. Must be on a generator and kicked right in. But we lost the lights and all of that fun stuff for a couple minutes. So now that we've got Bob off the phone line and off the air, we seem to be just fine. So I don't know what's going on there. We'll have to ask him about that at the upcoming conference. And we're talking with Bob about the upcoming Worship God 2011 conference. And so we're talking about worshiping God specifically in song. And I wanted to bring in our second guest on the program today. And I wanted to speak with her because I think I saw on one of Bob's tweets that he was mentioning how good this product was that is put out by our next guest. And so I went out there and I read about it, and I was very much interested in it. I love the catechism, and I'm always looking for new tools and new resources to use along with the catechism, especially the children's catechism. And so that's what this was all about. Our next guest on the program here today is Diana Batarsi, and she's an educator. You can't mess up on that word. You know, that's the wrong word to mess up. That's like messing up on sound speech or something. I don't know. But she's an educator, a writer, a musician, who has been serving kids and families for over 20 years. She's the founding director of the Mustard Seed Preschool. It's a ministry of Christ Community Church. She also developed what's called the Ask Me Who series. That's what we're going to talk about today. And it's designed to teach children the basics of the faith using the Children's First Catechism that is set to original music. Now, we're going to listen to a little bit of this. I thought maybe what we should do is hear it first so that when Diana comes on, we have some sort of context to talk about the types of material that she is producing. So I'm just going to play the first one. The first one deals with the first catechism question about who made you. And then I'm hoping, if we have time, I also want you to hear the fourth one because that was one of my favorite. It deals with what is the atonement. Let's listen to the first one. This is off of the Ask Me Who series, the Children's First Catechism, word for word, set to music.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Psalm 139:13-14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well.
Isaiah 43:6-7. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
Isn't that wonderful? I thought the sound of this is very well done. Here I was on my way over to the studio today, had it playing in my car, had the windows down in my car, which most people in Greenville will think that that's crazy because we're in a 90-degree season. But I had the windows down in the car, and here I am singing this. You know, as I'm stopped at red lights, I turn my head, somebody's there looking at me. But I'm humming and singing this as I'm on my way to the studio. It deals with the first three questions of the catechism. I think it's very well done. Let's talk to the author of this, Diane Batarsi. Diane, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Diane, very well done. You did an excellent job of putting that to music. Tell us a little bit about why you did this and a little bit about the series itself.
Sure, I'd be glad to tell you. In 2004, I was hired as a founding director for Christ Community Church's new ministry called Mustard Seed Preschool. And one of the distinctives of the school is that it would be a classical school, classical in education methodology. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to find a way to introduce the catechism to kids, as I thought that would be a wonderful approach to teaching the basics of the faith. And I thought, how do we do this in a way that's effective? And there is a precedent set before by a dear friend named Holly Dutton, who did this with the Westminster Shorter Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
She set it to music word for word. And I wanted to do something for kids, so I just started to. And as God would smile on that idea, a lot of it came as I was driving down the road to the grocery store, in the carpool line. I just found that there was a natural cadence to these particular lyrics, to these words, and mm-hmm. the melodies just sort of emerged. So I piloted it in 2004, and it was just so well received. I also did some sign language to go with it. So it was very kinesthetic, and the kids had fun, and I used each of those songs as a platform for teaching. And from there, it just took off. I began to make copies of the CD for folks, and I knew that this would be the next thing I would do, is to set the entire series to music. And I'm glad today to be able to tell you that God has blessed that desire and it's complete.
Excellent. What's the primary use for it? Is it for parents at home? Is it in a Sunday school class or some other setting?
Well, I have found that parents do love to have a tool that's friendly to their lifestyles. I mean, so many of them stick it in their vans as they're driving around, and the kids request it. And so in our very mobile and busy lives, going from school to soccer to events, it's so great to have something like this that is just a great springboard for conversation, and it's an easy way to memorize these truths. And as you notice, there was scripture recitation after that song. Each of the songs are followed by one or two or three scripture verses that kind of defend why these truths are true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that really families have just gravitated toward it, but I also have several churches who are using it as supplementary material in their Sunday schools,
mm-hmm.
Their Wednesday night programs, and recently have several preschools that have decided to use it as their Bible curriculum this fall.
Hmm. So we're talking about 150 first catechism questions, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so you've broken it up over three volumes. Tell us about those,
right.
All three volumes. We were
sure.
listening a little bit to the first one, Who Made
sure.
You, but just give us a little synopsis of each one.
Sure. Volume 1 covers the first 53 questions and answers, and it covers the doctrine of God, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of sin, and beginning the doctrine of atonement. And I think the grouping is pretty natural as we move into Volume 2. Volume 1, I should say, is subtitled, Who Made You?
Mm-hmm.
Volume 2 is called, Who Loves You? It's really about the work of Christ in redemption.
Mm.
And it talks about his sacrifice, the covenant of life. It talks about his offices into the Ten Commandments. And this covers the next about 50 questions. And the last third is called Who Keeps You?
Mm.
And it talks about the Lord's Prayer and how many petitions, what they mean. It talks about the sacraments, what their purposes are and what they are. And then it talks about our future headed to heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, and what happens to believers. And And so it's a pretty comprehensive Genesis to Revelation kind of scope of the basics of the faith.
Oh, I love the outline there. Who made you? Who loves you? Who keeps you? That's preachable right there.
Well, you know something? I was amazed to find that a saint before us, Julian of Norwich, had kind of the same idea as she was looking at her just her own experience with God and really affirming him as creator. He is the one who made us, who loves us, and who keeps us. And she's just, I guess, a kindred spirit because I read that after I had subtitled
the series. That's excellent.
And she's one who knows deeply the love of Christ, and I so enjoy that truth. I know his love for me personally and deeply, and so it was very fun to come across that same designation. So I love that that she thinks the same way, that looking at the story that God has written really is a love story that he has for his people.
Yeah, and I think it's, like I said, so easy to, so easily put. It's so succinctly the way that you set these up. I've often said many times that in the Westminster Confession of Faith and the associated Shorter Catechism, I think there's 109 questions, if I remember right, there. And in those 109 questions, I said that if you really went over each one of those with the scripture proofs and really understood what each one of those were, as much as we can, understand each one of those, you would probably know more theology than most preachers know in our modern day and age. Because as you mentioned, in the middle one here, you're talking about songs about the atonement, the offices of Christ. I think we could we could say that to somebody. I could take a microphone out in the street here in Greenville, which is the buckle of the Bible Belt, and ask what are the offices of Christ, and I think we'd be surprised by what answers we get that question. And then you end with the Ten Commandments, which I think are vitally important. They've been completely set aside recently. I've had one person say to me at one time they weren't sure if we even needed the Old Testament anymore. And so, you know, there's just a real dearth of this information that we need in our society today and even within our churches. So I think it's wonderful. I think you've done an excellent job.
Well, thank you so much. I'll have to say that one of my observations of our current culture is that many children are raised with a picture of a small God. I think he's as big as our preferences are. And it's such a disservice to children, to families, to present a God that that is not who he truly is. And so to present them with the mystery of God in his vastness and his transcendence, but also in his immanence, is incredible. And they fit in the story of God as creator, as redeemer, and as savior. And I just, it's a wonderful experience to see children respond to, is this really true, and how did he make these things in 7 days? And I just, the discussions that emerge are rich because there is an explosively huge picture of a big God, and I really believe that our children can handle that. You asked me what inspired this. I'll say not only the task of starting the school, but also I had been given a book by Spurgeon. I think the title of it was Let the Children Come, and in it he says, if the Holy Spirit is at work in a child's life, it's up to the adult to make it plain. And armed with that, I thought, I am going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to teach them. I walked into church every day with my Wayne Grudem systematic theology under one arm and my guitar in the other, and I thought, this is vitally important. And many people think, well, they're just 3, 4, 5-year-olds, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. What are you going to do teaching them these things? And I think, you know, there's only one gospel. There's not one gospel for children and one gospel for adults. And so you take what are some abstract concepts and you try to make them as understandable as possible, make them as concrete as you can. You'd be amazed at what kids are able to absorb at the youngest ages.
Yeah, you mentioned two great theological terms that I think we see right in the pattern prayer that's given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you mentioned the idea of the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. Transcendence, for our listening audience, you know that God is above and beyond all things. It says in the scripture, our Father who art in heaven. He is in heaven and we are upon the face of the earth. You know, he's not your BFF. He's not your, you know, this type of thing. He is almighty God, and we should shudder in one sense in the approaching of him, except for the imminence of God, where he encourages us to approach him as Father. That's the nearness and dearness. The other part of that address is the majesty and the might of God. Those two things must be balanced as we come before almighty God. I was also thinking, as I was looking at your series here and singing it on the way over here in the car, I thought, you know what would be a great purpose for this? We just recently had a couple of dedications at our church. Jasper Fellers was dedicated not that long ago, and then my granddaughter, Avery Swogard, was dedicated just a few weeks ago. And I thought this would be a great dedication gift. I spend time during those dedication services, first of all, making a charge to the parents and telling them, you know, that they're committing here to training their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And then I approach the congregation and I say, this is a family that is in our congregation. And you, as members of this congregation, have a privilege and a responsibility to help this family with the raising, godly rearing of this child in this congregation. And I thought, as I was listening to these, this would make a great gift then for the church to give to those parents to say, let us help you out with this right here in the very beginning. Take this series, and this will help you to learn these things yourself, yes, and then to teach them to your children.
Yes. Amen and amen. And actually, there is a church here in the area that has ordered and reordered for that very purpose.
Mm.
They give it away for dedications and baptisms, and it's just a stunning thing they've grown used to. I mean, I think there's a sense of anticipation, parents knowing that the church will give them this. And, you know, on another note, really, I think that it's clear in Scripture in Deuteronomy 6 and 11 that the mandate is to parents,
yes,
to disciple and educate their kids. It's something that's easy to abdicate to the church or to a private Christian school, to these para-ministries, but really, in the end of time, I don't think God's going to ask us, you know, why did you put your child in such and such a Sunday school class?
Mm-hmm.
It's really about, did you tell them when they were sitting down and standing up and walking down the roads, all of the things that I have done?
Yes.
And I really do believe that tools like this that are, I think they're accessible musically, they're easy to learn, lyrically too, they're basic in lyric. I think they're wonderful tools for parents. I often hear parents say, I have learned so much just from my child.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you, do you get parents saying some of these concepts, although they're made for children in the catechism, mm-hmm, as I was mentioning, if you learned them all, you probably know more than most preachers, but certainly a lot more maybe than the average church-going person. You know, doctrine has been so diminished in our Christian churches today that I'm afraid that many people, although we think that they would know these things, that if they heard about these things, they would be astounded at how little they have actually developed in their learning about these biblical concepts that we learned. Let's go ahead and listen to one on the atonement, and then I want to come back and give you the final word here to talk about a couple of things, give us the website and a couple final thoughts. But I love this one on the atonement because the atonement is obviously so key to our understanding of the gospel, and I thought that including stuff like this in this CD series, this children's series, is just so important that we set this concept in their mind and teach them this truth. Let's listen to it, and then we'll come back and discuss it.
As a substitute for sinners, for
Romans 3:25. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished.
Well, there you can see in that question, this is actually from Volume 2, but it deals with the question, you know, what is meant by the atonement? Again, if I was to take a microphone out onto the streets, even here in Greenville, even in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and I was to take a microphone out and ask somebody, explain to me the atonement. What do you mean by the atonement, or what does the Bible mean by that? I think people would struggle and probably, you know, bring in a lot of different elements. Here is a very succinct little statement. Christ satisfied God's justice by his suffering and death as a substitute for sinners and for sinners. And so we find this here, you know, just a very, very succinct little statement. And this begins to help us not only to understand the atonement for ourselves, but then also to convey that to others. And it uses a Bible verse here as well. You heard the reading from Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. And, so if you memorize both of those together, now you've got the foundation not only to better understand the gospel yourself and for your children, but also to articulate to others.
That's right. And I'm in the process of writing a curriculum to accompany each of these three CDs. And I think it will hopefully further make this a more useful tool. Mm-hmm. Just simply put, I have described the atonement to a young child saying, you know, have you ever had to receive punishment or discipline at home, a timeout or a spanking or anything like this? And, of course, just about every child I've ever met has had some form of discipline.
Yeah.
And I ask them to imagine, what if at the moment you were going to have your time out or a spanking, that Jesus himself walked in the door and said, oh, don't spank him or her, spank me. Or don't put them in time out, put me in time out. And it becomes vivid and alive, and you see, my goodness. Then you unpack that example. Now, was he the one to do the sin that you had done? Was he the one who did that wrong act? And they can clearly see no, but he has come in to satisfy God's desire for justice to be done, you know. And so it's just it's a wonderful place to have a conversation. And so these melodies course through and these truths, and, you know, they're worth unpacking over time as well. It's not just one listening to, but it's just something to ponder. So these, I think it's a gift that continually gives, even as a child develops and grows. These are truths, these are pegs upon which later truths can be hung. Mm-hmm. They've got the vocabulary, they have exposure to it, and then one day it will really become something that they can own in their hearts for themselves, and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
I wholeheartedly agree in that, especially that you're building the scaffolding, if you will.
Yes.
The foundation that we're going to add to this as they grow older, but you've got to have that foundation established somewhere that they can hang their hat on these concepts to be able to understand them. So I think that that is vitally important. We do a children's program in the public school system, part of Child Evangelism Fellowship's work, and we get about 100 children one day a week that come to a couple-hour program that we put on. And we've just been so surprised over the years, especially with music. When we did the program close to Christmas, we sang Christmas hymns. If we sang a more secular Christmas song, you know, like a Jingle Bells or something, sure, all the children knew it. But if we sang the hymns associated with Christmas, the children were strangely silent during our singing. And we began to realize that, you know, we kind of take it for granted that everyone knows these, but they had no idea. And so I think your music would help tremendously in order to bridge that gap. Diane, give us the website again very quickly as the program ends here today.
Yes, the website is www.askmewho.com, and the word who is spelled with three O's.
Okay.
askmewho.com. And all the lyric for the songs, the Bible references are there. Ability to purchase, to listen to MP3s. There's a link to an outside site where you can sample it. So it's all there.
Excellent. Diana, thank you very much for being with us on the program today. We thoroughly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's an honor.
Okay. That was Diana Batarsi. She's the author of the book or the series Ask Me Who. Remember this. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660, WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.